All right, go run, get your Bible, and pull up a chair, and attend the next class of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And for the next 15 minutes, we'll be studying from the book of Isaiah. And if you follow along with us in this study, you'll be glad that you did, because you will be blessed by the things that we read about in the Word of God. I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And in just a moment, we're going to continue this Bible study that we're having. We've done verse 1 and 2, and we're on verses 3 and 4. They say that he would appoint to them that mourn in Zion and give them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified, and they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Well, we want to look at that, and we'll do so in just a moment. In the meantime, while you're turning in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61, let me remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And following that text that we just read from Isaiah 61, let me read to you some of Elam's notes that he prepared for a Sunday school class that was met on the Sunday of October the 29th in 1922. Elam writes, "Those who in sorrow put on mourning apparel did not anoint themselves with oil, 2 Samuel 14:2, but put ashes on their head and rent their garments, 2 Samuel 13:19. But Isaiah says, instead of ashes on the head, God would give them a garland of beauty. Of mourning, he would give them the oil of joy, costly ointments used on occasions of festivity. It may be an allusion to just such oil in Psalm 23 and verse 5, where he says, he anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For the spirit of heaviness and mourning apparel, God would give them garments of praise. Jesus said to his disciples in the awful night of his betrayal, while they would soon weep and lament in sorrow, that their sorrow would be turned into joy." Let me read that for you. It is from the book of John, chapter 16, and in verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Instead of being bowed down with grief, they would be trees of God's planting, strong and upright, trees of righteousness. They would be strong in faith and in truth, and as such, they would glorify God." All this reminds me of the first of the Psalms in the book of Psalms. Beginning in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of waters, that bringeth forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Wherefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But Jehovah knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Jesus said to his disciples, in the awful night of his betrayal, while they would soon weep and lament in sorrow, their sorrow would be turned to joy. And then we read in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 4, that they shall build the old waste places, raise up former desolations, repair the waste cities, desolation of many generations. What does this mean? Well, they, the people of God, should do this. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, which were long to lie in the ruins, would be rebuilt. Returning from Babylonian captivity, the city was rebuilt, but that is not all. God declares that the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, shall be rebuilt, the breaches thereof closed, as in the days of old, that he would bring back the captivity of his people Israel, that they shall build waste cities, and that he would bless them with an abundant harvest. I want to read to you about that harvest as it is told by the prophet Amos. Let me turn over here to, and I thought I had that marked. This is Amos chapter 9, beginning in verse 11, and to the end of the book. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations that are called by my name, saith Jehovah that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste places and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They also shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them in the land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Jehovah. It's interesting what we read in the book of Acts. In this regard, Acts chapter 15, and I'm turning over to there now, beginning in Acts chapter 15, and this is what James had to say, the brother of our Lord. Let me find that passage. Excuse me, Acts 15, beginning in verse 15, he says, "And this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written, after these things I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen, and I will build again the ruins thereof and set it up, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who maketh these things known from of old." And so we see those old prophecies of the prophets are fulfilled in the coming of Christ and the gospel and of his church. James plainly declares that this has been fulfilled in Jesus and his spiritual kingdom. The spiritual restoration, as well as the literal restoration from Babylon, embracing the Gentile, is meant, as is learned from Amos, this restoration, Peter declares, is going on now, while Jesus occupies in heaven David's throne. God spake this by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from old. This restoration embraces that which the prophets have spoken, and we have proof of this in Peter's declaration in the book of Acts, chapter 3, and I want to begin reading in verse 19. Peter says, "Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so there may become seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many have spoken, they also told of these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you away from your iniquities. And so those glorious prophecies of old are fulfilled among us. We can also see this in Luke. If you go back to the book of Luke, and I want to read to you how it was said in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people, and hath raised us up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which you sware unto Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Yea, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the Most High. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to make his ways ready, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the remission of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us, to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Isn't that just beautiful? And to think that those are the blessings that are ours when we hear, believe, repent, and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we read in Isaiah chapter 61, 5 and 6, that strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named priests of Jehovah. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall ye boast of themselves. Under these figures of material prosperity, strangers feeding their flocks, foreigners acting as plowmen and vine dressers, God's people shall be named priests of Jehovah, shall be the ministers of our God, and shall eat the wealth of nations. Another figure showing spiritual prosperity, and beast themselves as rejoicing in their glory. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5 says, The wealth of the nation shall come into thee. And in chapter 66 and verse 12, Isaiah says, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an ever-flowing stream. And so all Christians now are kings and priests and servants and ministers unto God. That's where we're going to have to stop this particular class session, and we'll continue this on in the next class session. So you be listening for that bell, and you remember when you hear that, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, and all are welcome to all of our services.